Let us pray. Father, thank you for creating this the brand new Sunday and the sunshine and all the good weather, blue sky, and your presence here. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. And Lord, you are the Lord of the Sabbath, and you bless the day, and you made it holy. Thank you that we are part of this Sunday, your day. May this day be richly filled up with your blessings. Open up our eyes so that we can perceive and heal our sickness and infirmities so that we can serve you better with healthy body and soul. And save us so that we can be your children, and convict our sins so that we can truly believe in you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have you been standing before a judge in any court? When someone is judged in the court, one of the things that makes the defendant uneasy and unsettled, in fear and uncertainty, is the lack of knowledge who will be the judge. We wish we would be lucky enough to encounter a good, fair, and yet merciful judge who can have sympathy toward us. Anyhow, judgment is the word most people would want to avoid, if possible. The judge in Greek is a krino. It's to engage in a judicial process, and it also means condemn, also hand over judicial punishment. An English word criminal comes from this Greek word krino, judge. No one feels comfortable with the notion of judgment. Some simply dismisses the possibility of judgment at all, and arguing that there is no judgment. And there are many uncertainties and uneasiness with the topic of judgment, even to those who believe in God. But the judgment of God is so important if this is real. And if it is real, then it be of paramount importance, as this is the step no one can avoid. So today, we are going to look at a few important questions concerning the judgment of God. The first question I'd like to raise is, what does the Bible tell us about judgment? What does the Bible tell us about judgment? If you will, would you please turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, the very last book of the New Testament, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 13. Revelation 20, 11 through 13. And I saw it on 11:20. Okay. Revelation 20, 11 through 13. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, and from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deed. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the death which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. This is actually the final event of everything before God will create new heaven and new earth. Genesis talks about creation of the whole universe, including the heavens and the earth. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, talks about the final event, which is the judgment of God. And the final judgment is vividly portrayed in the book of Revelation. It clearly says, death is not the final thing. A lot of people think death is the final thing, final event for any person, and that's it. So, but this portion of the Bible says, the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So what that means is, they will be, all the dead people will be resurrected to life, and then they will stand before the judgment seat of God. And the judgment of God will take place after the death event. And another passage I want us to look at is Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 17, and verse 31. Book of Acts, 17:31. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished a proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So according to God's timetable, God has already fixed a day where the whole world will be judged according to the righteousness of God. And Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 2:5, the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And Jesus also talks about the judgment a day numerous times. In Matthew 10:15, he said, truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And there are other passages of the Bible, Matthew 11, Matthew 12, Matthew 25 in particular, and 1 Corinthians 4, Hebrews 6, and 2 Peter 2, and Jude 6. There are many the Bible passages that talk about the judgment of God. So it is clear that judgment of God is a biblical theme. It's not a metaphor, it's not a symbol. It will be an event, a historical event that will take place in the future. We don't know when that happened, but God has already fixed that day. So we answer the first question, what does the Bible tell us about the judgment? It's a real event that is going to happen to everyone without any exception. Second question I'd like to think about is, why is judgment of God necessary? We may wonder why God has set aside a time of final judgment established at all. What's the purpose of that? God sets apart this day to demonstrate that he is just. Without judgment day of God, you know, justice could be interpreted relatively depending on who are the one who interpret them. But God would not leave any room for interpretation for the judgment. And he is the one who will say the final word. 1 Peter 1:17, let me read it for you. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. So Apostle Peter talks about God will be the judge. God will have the final say over all things. So he said, conduct yourself in fear in time of your stay upon earth. The fear because we don't know whether our conduct will be justified, or our conduct will be just. Only God has the final say, so we have to live in fear in that sense. You know, we are not the final judge. We cannot define our life what is wrong, what is right. It'll be God. That's why we have to live in fear, because in view of God's final judgment. So judgment day of God is the day God establishes what justice is all about to all humanity. It will be a public event, and each and everyone, living or dead, will stand before the throne of God. And I can imagine the massiveness of this event. You know, every person who ever lived and whoever died on earth will stand before God, and we will hear His final judgment for all the matters that we have sinned as humanity throughout the history. And all hidden injustice will be revealed openly in the day of judgment. And let's go back to Revelation 19, another passage. Revelation 19, verse 1 and 2. Revelation 19. Verse 1 and 2. After these things I heard, as it were, a loud voice of great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous, for He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the blood of His bondservant on her. So the judgment day of God is the day of reinstating all who suffered and persecuted unfairly and unjustly for Christ's name's sake. It is the day God will show what is right, what is wrong, according to His perfect holiness and moral purity. It is the day the people who lived justly in fear of Him will praise and worship for what He will restore. And it is the day God's vengeance will be afflicted over all the people who practiced all immorality. God does not allow us to revenge, because it is His portion. It's a God's prerogative, vengeance, righteous treatment of all things that was done in all immorality will be revenged by God Himself. So simply put, the day of judgment is necessary to prove that God is just, and that God has the final say over all matters. To those who, on God's side, judgment day will be the day of justice. And the third question I'd like to raise this morning is, who will be judged? Who are the subject of God's judgment? If you stay at Revelation 20, 14 through 15, just one chapter after 19, it is clear that all unbelievers will stand before God for judgment. So let's look at Revelation 20, 14 through 15. The dead and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So those whose name is not found in the book of life are referred to unbelievers, basically unbelievers. And these unbelievers will be judged by God according to their deeds and be thrown into the lake of fire and spend their eternity in the punishment of hell. But it is also clear that believers also will be judged. In writing to Christians, Apostle Paul said in Romans 14, verses 10 through 12, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. So it is very clear, as Apostle Paul was addressing this letter, epistle, to the Roman Christians, and he clearly says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. So all believers will be also standing before the judgment seat of God. And Apostle Paul addressed to the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 5:10, and he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And also, the final judgment discourse presented by Jesus in Matthew 25 gives us the picture of Christ separating the sheep from the goat and rewarding those who receive his blessing at his judgment seat. So it is clear that believers will also be judged. However, it is important to realize that this judgment of the believers will be a judgment to evaluate and bestow various degrees of reward. We talked about reward a couple of weeks ago. Again, this same is connected with the judgment of God for the believers. The judgment of God for the believers will not be in a nature of condemnation. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So, and then Romans 8:1, Apostle Paul said, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So believers, the judgment day is like your graduation day. You know, every Christian will be standing before God. And if anyone believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior who died for their sin, they will get the diploma according to the Book of Life. If your name is written in the Book of Life, you will get your diploma that certifies your entry to heaven. So there is no condemnation over your deeds. You know why? Because Jesus took all the condemnation for our deeds, and we have repented of all our bad deeds. So Jesus took it all. Jesus took the condemnation too for those who believe in his name. So judgment day for the believers are not like day of condemnation. Unbelievers, however, they did not repent. They did not take Jesus' name. They did not receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So their deeds is, you know, laid open. There's no Savior, there's no Redeemer who can pay for their deeds because they denied Jesus himself. So that's why they will be condemned. Jesus' condemnation on the cross would have no effect for those who deny Jesus Christ. That's why they will be evaluated according to the books, not the Book of Life, but according to the books that recorded all their deeds, what they have done, what they have said. Everything is written there, and according to that deeds, they will be thrown into the eternal punishment. But for believers, because we believed in Jesus' name, we repented of all our sins, of all the wrong deeds, Jesus took the condemnation himself, and then we will not be condemned for the deeds. However, for the believers, it will be the reward, the work we have done. There will be reward according to your work. In the graduation ceremony, some people will get reward. As you know, some people graduate with cum laude, or, you know, magna cum laude or summa cum laude. Even in our graduation, when he graduated from elementary school, our school actually gave the reward for those who never missed the class. You know, it's called, I don't know, I don't think they reward in this country. They do? Okay, great. There are all kinds of rewards. And they recognize what each student has done for the academic year. And those who work hard for their academic work, they are the one who will receive this award. And likewise, God will recognize those who are faithful workers for His kingdom. And this reward should not be viewed as competitive nature. It's not that, you know, if someone gets it, I don't get it. It's not like that. Because God has infinite capacity. He has infinite number of trophies He can confer. And he wants to give everyone, if everyone really qualifies for that. So since God has infinite capacity to give all of us His reward without running out of His resource, it is all the more important for each one of us to encourage to produce good works for Him. You know, I think that's why church is important, local church. We are co-workers. You know, I think we'll be evaluated pretty much about the same level, what we have done as a church. And God's reward is not a zero-sum game, where if you win, I lose, or vice versa. It's not like that. We can all win this great award waiting for the faithful. And this is our goal as a Church of Christ. God may ask you, which church did you attend? You know, what did the church do, and what did you do? How did you help my ministry entrusted to your church and to you as an individual? So everyone will be judged, unbelievers and believers. And for believers, there is no condemnation because Jesus took it all because we believed in that. And our judgment will be basically judgment of reward. You know, what kind of work we have produced. We're not talking about, you know, illegalism here. It talks about work. Work is very honest. You know, school work is very honest. You all went to school, and you know what I mean. And some of you are still in school, right? Maybe not, you know, among those people. You know, if you really work hard, you know, your grade will tell. You know, your hard work. It's very honest. And so I'd like to ask a final question. Who will be the judge? Who will be the judge? Jesus said, John 5:22, which is our part of our, you know, Gospel of John series, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son." Jesus is the judge. And verse 27 of Gospel of John 5, He gave Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. You know, Son of Man is the figure from Daniel 7:14. You know, Son of Man will come as a, you know, with the clouds, and He will be the judge. It's a judge figure at the end of the, you know, the human history. Prophet Daniel got that vision. Someone like look like a Son of Man. He will come with the clouds, and He will be the executor of the judgment of all humanity. So Jesus is the judge in the court of God. You know, this makes a huge difference because we know God through Jesus. And we experience God through Jesus. And we have relationship with God through Jesus. And good news is, Jesus will be our judge. And if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, Jesus being your judge should not be a big deal. Why? Because we know Him well. And you will never have to wonder who will be your judge. It's decided as the final day is fixed by God, and who will be, be our judge is fixed by God. It's Jesus. The Son of God has the full responsibility to execute his judgment over all people. So if you love Jesus, your lover will be your judge. No big deal. And if you work for Jesus, your employer will be your judge. You know, he knows your work. And if you put Jesus as your Lord will be your judge. And if you, Jesus is your friend, to whom you talk every day, your friend will be your judge. No big deal. He knows you more than anyone else. And you don't have to fear about the judgment of God in that sense. And you will not be surprised. You know, a lot of Christians live in fear of condemnation. But Bible clearly says there's no more condemnation for those who believe in Jesus' name. And you can be certain to see Jesus as your judge. And you simply live for Jesus. You simply get to know him deeper and deeper every day. And you simply do what he commanded to do with all faithfulness and honor. Daily. You know, daily practice. As you do daily, nothing to fear about the future. So let us recap. Judgment of God is what Bible clearly says. As I said, it's neither a metaphor nor a symbol. It's a real event. Like a death is a real event. Everyone has to go through death. But there is one more event, judgment of God. After your death, after my death, if you are still living when God judges you, you will be standing before the judgment seat of God without going through death. But the judgment of God will be your final event of your life. And judgment day of God is also a day where justice of God will be displayed. That's a positive side of judgment day. You know, in public, in all, you know, human race ever lived, God will announce what is right, what is wrong. What historical event was right, what historical event was wrong, and what you have done is right and what you have done is wrong. He will just publicly announce it. That's the final say. And everyone will stand before Christ. Jesus will be your judge and my judge. So what is the implication of all this that we talked about, judgment of God? You know, what is the ramification in our practical life? I'd like to give three implications. First, be comforted with the justice Jesus will bring. You know, if you are groaning these days, especially because of injustice of the world, be comforted with what Jesus will do for the world. He will sort it out, so to speak. And he will clean up. He will have the final say about all the matters of the world. And he will announce what is right and what is wrong. And everyone will see justice of Jesus Christ. He has the final say. And second implication, be courageous in telling people about Jesus. Understanding the judgment of God, we are all the more encouraged to tell about Jesus, because Jesus is not only a Savior and Lord, he's the Son of God, Son of Man, but he'll be the judge. And we don't want anyone to be thrown into the fiery hell. And we would like to at least, you know, give them a chance to make a decision for their destiny. You know, provided that, you know, everything is done by Jesus Christ. Just let them have this, you know, they hear this good news. And we want people to be with us in heaven. And the last implication, be faithful to the work Jesus commissioned us to finish. You know, Jesus will be your judge and my judge, who will send you and me to heaven if we are his believer. And more importantly, Jesus will be the one who will give you his reward for the good work you rendered for his name's sake. You know, we have this compassion outreach in a couple of weeks. You know, these things are a very good thing. You know, we're not saved by good works, but it is counted for your good work, your reward. Time is very honest. You know, we are encouraged to all the more invest our time while we have time to do the good works for Jesus' name's sake. And bless the nations with the name of Jesus. Bless your neighbor. Help your neighbor. Help those who are in need. And share good news with the people. And produce good works for him. Be faithful to the work Jesus commissioned us to finish. And get involved in ministry. If you're not involved, get involved in ministry. Ministry is a good venue, good avenue where we can produce good works for his name's sake. And everything counts. You know, what matters the most in light of God's judgment is to love Jesus and live well with him. You know, what can be more important than loving Jesus and living for him and living with him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great plan. Thank you that you fixed a day for your judgment and you appointed your son Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as the judge who will execute the fair judgment of all. In light of this judgment day, let us continue to work hard for your kingdom and produce good works and be comforted, because the judgment day will be the day that your justice will be displayed to all humanity. And all the groanings and all the heartache and disappointment that we may experience be recompensated by the justice that you will display. And if there's anyone that we have not forgiven, let us forgive, because in light of God's judgment, let us clean up all those the sinful practice in our heart. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of the Sabbath, and you bless this day. And bless us in understanding who you are. Bless us with the conviction of the Word of God. Bless us with the evangelistic effort and work that we will render to our neighbors, to the people around the world. And continue to bless Jubilee Church to produce good and faithful work for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I ever found like a flood comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe.
Sit down, we'll continue our communion.